Welcome to the Changing Lives podcast. In this episode, we learn about Cygnet's international doctor program. There's lots to consider when relocating from one country to another for work. So what's it like to be an international doctor? What are the challenges and the opportunities? And what support does Cygnet offer for overseas colleagues, both professionally and personally? With me today to discuss their experiences are Dr. Sami, Regional Medical Director for the South Region at Cygnet Healthcare, Dr. Dave Barker, Consultant Psychiatrist at Cygnet Hospital Taunton, Dr. Namdi Chiwankwo, Speciality Doctor at Cygnet Hospital Taunton, and Becky Casson, Medical Appraisal Revalidation Manager. Hello everyone and welcome to the podcast.
Hello.
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 Nice to have you all here today.
Fine. Thank you.
Thank you very much for joining. Dr. Sami and Becky, you're very close to the International Doctors Programme. I wondered if you could start by giving us a bit of an overview about the programme, who can apply, and where does the journey start for anyone thinking about applying?
So we initiated the International Doctors Programme at Cygnet in 2020. That's when COVID started. And we successfully organized about three webinars that year for doctors from overseas. We had very good attendance rates. More than about 50 doctors from overseas attended this program. So we had doctors from India, from Malaysia, Singapore, Nigeria, and from the Middle East as well. So following the webinar, we encouraged the doctors to apply for specialty doctor posts in the UK across the three regions, London and South, Midlands and North. And these applications were then, you know, went through the shortlisting process. And after that, interviews were arranged for these doctors in the respective regions. Once these candidates were offered the post, we then passed them on to the HR team, who then sorted out, you know, the rest of, for example, going through their qualification checks and all that. And I'm sure Becky will be able to add to that.
Yep, so once a doctor's been offered, they came through the HR process. So we offered their letter of contract and letter of employment, things like that. We supported some doctors in obtaining their GMC registration, which could either be done through the IELTS programme or they did a written and speaking test, and then we had to send a form off to the GMC to say that they had sufficient English language. So once all that had been done, we then just did our usual pre-employment checks for doctors. We've got between 12 and 15 checks that we have to do for every doctor who comes through pre-employment. And once that was done, they were then able to get their visa and come over to England.
What kind of support does Cygnet offer to people who are relocating from one country to another? It's a big decision and it can probably be quite an overwhelming experience, especially if you've never visited the country you're moving to and you don't have any friends or families here.
I think especially during the COVID period, you know, doctors had to come here and they had to, you know, isolate themselves for a couple of weeks before they can start working. And what we did is we worked very closely with our learning and development team, and mandatory training was accessible to all our overseas doctors even before they started working with Cygnet Healthcare. So they had a good idea of what this organization is about, our vision, our values, our strategies. And they had the opportunity to complete their mandatory training online. And this was received well by overseas doctors, and they did feed this back at the induction process as well. And so for those couple of weeks, we did provide accommodation for all these doctors. And this also gave them the opportunity to get to know the place, to get to know the system here, the culture here, and to sort out their own, you know, rental accommodation and banking. And I think, you know, Becky would be able to share her experiences because she was getting a lot of calls from our doctors during that period about, you know, just getting to know the area, shopping and culture. Over to you, Becky.
Yeah. So, yeah, when doctors arrived, as Sam has just said, when they arrived during the COVID period, they had at least 2 weeks isolation to adhere to. So we support them with initial accommodation and food and things like that. But then after that, they then had to navigate trying to find some more food and things like that. So, they'd ring me up and they'd say maybe, where can I buy some food from? So I had to point them in the direction of online deliveries. I think a lot of them, Amazon became their new best friend because they were isolating, so they couldn't physically go out and buy things. It was probably tough for them in a way, because they came during the COVID period. It helped a little bit in that they could set up their bank accounts without having to go into the bank. So they could do that virtually. Further, I know the sites did a lot of work as well with the doctors when the doctors actually started work.
Namde, you recently joined Signet earlier this year, moving over from Nigeria. Can you tell us a little bit about your experience of joining? Why did you choose to work at Signet, and what's it been like for you adjusting to a new country and new cultures?
Okay, I choose to join Signet because it's a mental health setting. And I've always wanted to do mental health. So when I got the offer from Signet, going through their profile, they work with the NHS and they offer mental health services, and they are widespread as well in the UK. So I thought it was a good idea to join them. And they also have opportunities for progression as well, which I believe every doctor will want to do. So it was a good idea to join Signet. And I think I joined in February this year. I got into the country on the 1st, and after the 8 days isolation, I started work immediately. So that was why I joined, and basically it's been a good journey so far.
Was there anything that kind of surprised you or shocked you moving to the UK that you weren't expecting?
Yeah, obviously. I joined the UK in February at the peak of the cold. So coming from a tropical country with temperatures of 30 to 35 degrees, you come into a country with negative degree, and it was quite cold, and commuting from home to work, it was quite a distance. Yeah, the experience of the trains were good, but coming out of the trains to the cold was really, it was an experience that was life-changing, I'll put it that way. And then the difference with the diet as well, tea, coffee, and having to eat lighter foods, and I think the timing for the feeding as well is different. You know, we used to late night feeding back home, but you have your dinner as early as 5, 6 here, and that's it. So there were just a lot. And I think the living conditions as well, the rooms here are quite small compared to back home where we have bigger accommodation. So there was a lot actually that one had to take in. But right now I think I'm a big fan of coffee. Yeah, I have coffee like almost through the day. I think I just have to get started with a cup of coffee every morning.
You sound like a true Brit. You're really fitting in.
It looks like Namdi is taking the tea and coffee back to Nigeria.
And Sammy, Becky, you very often get to meet with our new doctors as our first point of contact. What are some of the most common kind of questions, anxieties and concerns that you hear from international doctors?
Yeah, so when doctors first join Signet, we are usually the one of the first part of calls that they come to. So we have a meet the greet senior team, where the doctors meet virtually the group clinical director John Van Niekerk, the regional medical director Sami Saleem and Naresh, the responsible officer Dr. Dale Lawrence, and then myself, I'm sat there as well. And we just give the doctors a open floor, basically, to ask any questions, meet the senior management team, and we kind of just go from there, really. The floor's open, so they can lead it any way they want. If they want to ask anything about education, then we'll talk about education. Sometimes we get asked some of the more simpler things about, you know, where do we buy duvet from and things like that. So that's where I kind of offer a lot of the pastoral support. So we always tell all the international doctors that they're more than welcome to ask me any question. No question is too silly or too, like, oh, I shouldn't ask that. You know, we're here to support. As Namdi says, we do offer support, and you know, we will try and support them in settling into UK life and British culture. I do also meet with all of the international doctors within the first 3 months when they start work with us, because we have to set them up for appraisal. So appraisal and revalidation to them is something that they've not known. It's something that's only done in the UK. So I spend about 2 hours and explain what appraisal is and what revalidation is. We go through the appraisal form page by page, step by step, and I really support them through that and I help them fill that out. But during that meeting as well, because it's just me and the doctor, it's one-on-one, we do have chats about things as well. So we'll talk about British culture. I'll advise them to watch EastEnders and Coronation Street and Emmerdale for the different accents that we've got across the UK. We have a little giggle about the British culture in that the British always queue up. So if they pushed in at the front of the line, they'd get a lot of tuts and a lot of, you know, that they'd upset people. So we have a little bit of a giggle around that, and we talk about British culture. One of the really interesting conversations I've had with one of the Nigerian doctors is that the cinema experience in Nigeria, they're very into the cinema and the film, and there's a lot of cheering and clapping, whereas here, if you rustle your sweet packet, you get glared at. So we have another giggle about that as well, just to ease them into how British culture is without them going and be totally mortified and shocked or anything like that. So, you know, I know the James Bond film's out at the moment, so a lot of people will be going to watch the new James Bond. So, you know, I've already given them that expectation already, that us as the British culture, we're not as fully into the film like the Nigerian culture is. So it's just not to shock them. But yeah, we talk about where to buy duvets from and simple things like that.
Yeah. I think, you know, I had a funny question. I think, you know, one of the new doctors, she said she's not going shopping at all. She said, I'm not going to do any shopping in the UK. And I was like, why? And I think probably when she asked about, you know, clothes shopping, someone just joked with her. They said, you know, you should go to Harrods. So she kind of, you know, took it really seriously. And she was like, you know, I think in seconds she was out. And she said, oh my God, you know, is it so expensive here? And I said, no. And, you know, just guiding her to, you know, other shops where she can, you know, kind of, you know, it's more affordable. And so it's quite interesting. Do you know what I mean? So sometimes, I mean, they don't get the jokes and kind of, you know, taking it, you know, really seriously.
That's another thing we talk about. We talk about the British sense of humour, and that we're quite dry and quite sarcastic in our sense of humour. And I think I'm probably one of the best people for them to like have a one-to-one with, because my sense of humour is quite dry and sarcastic. So I think, you know, I'd set that like playing field for them. But yeah, we talk about all sorts. We talk about movies. So even though it's about work, I try to make it a bit of a fun element as well. And I check in that they're okay, that they're settled in, where they're living, that they've found places, that they've, you know, if sport interests them, if they've got some social groups going. I check in with them about, you know, if they've made any friends within work as well. So I do a lot of that pastoral support and cover things like that. We talk about TV and talk about TV license, or, you know, quite a few of them have told them it's best buying like a smart TV at the moment, because you've got your Netflix and different things like that. So it's a lot of things that we who live in the UK or are born and raised in the UK, we take for granted. You've really got to take it step back. And I had one of the RMOs move to about 5-10 minutes away from me, and she was one of our first international doctors come over. And it wasn't till I was sat in the appraisal, like one-to-one thing meeting that I was having, that my eyes just suddenly opened. And I was like, they literally know nothing about things, because she asked me a question and I just answered it just off the cuff, because it was so easy and second nature to me. But she literally had no idea. So after that, we exchanged phone numbers, and I've actually picked her up and I've driven her around where she's living and showed her like where to go shopping and where to get things from. And then since that, I've also taken her to the theatre. She went to see her first musical in one of the UK theatres. and things like that. And I tried to support her with things like that and taking her maybe on day trips out. As I'm doing things, she may as well just come along and enjoy the experience and see things as well. Unfortunately, I can't offer that to all international doctors. I'd absolutely love it if I could be your... That would be a great job, taking you out and showing you the sights of the UK and picking you up from the airport and all that. Unfortunately, I can't. But yeah, so that's where sometimes I think units just need to... There needs to be somebody at unit who can just take people under their wing a little bit and just befriend them and take them out and show them or if you're going to the cinema with the kids, take that doctor along with you and, you know, let them experience things like that and just show them how we live within the UK, really. Again, I talked to doctors about if they're coming on their own, if they're coming over with families. And again, I also let them know that if they've got any questions about schooling, to ask me any questions, because I've got two children, young children who are in school. I also went through school within the UK, so I know all the qualifications and things like that. So I'm always telling them, please ask any questions. Don't hold it in. Just ask me and I'll help you the best I can. If I can't answer you, then I'll direct you to the person who can.
Oh, fantastic. Sounds like a really warm welcome that you give.
Yeah. And also, I mean, they have to get used to the DIY stuff here, isn't it? Because I think, you know, back home, when they do deliver furniture, they assemble it for you. That's the norm.
Oh, no.
Whereas here, like, oh my God, like here. You know, is that all? So that was a big, you know, culture change for some of our overseas doctors.
In the next part of the episode, we spoke in more depth about what a typical induction program looks like at Cygnet. From meeting the MDT to those all-important team-building activities and staff recognition.
So the induction process can probably broadly be divided into two aspects. One aspect of receiving the sort of information that can access you to the resources that are necessary to essentially do your work. For example, applying for annual leave, online training, email address, things like that. The second part is the more tangible induction part, which would include the meet and greets as we ease someone into their role and familiarise themselves with the hospital environment. For example, on the first day, you will meet either myself or, if I'm not on site, with the consultant that you'll be paired with, who will just kind of give you a general introduction, perhaps have a cup of coffee with you, introduce you to some of the main players in the hospital. Usually during that first day, I try to organise meet and greets with, at the very least, the medical secretary and the consultant that the new RMO or specialty doctor is paired with. And then throughout the week, there will be other meet and greet sessions, which are actually quite structured. There are specific things that will be discussed at each meet and greet. They will be with other senior management, including the clinical manager and hospital manager, but also with head of the multidisciplinary team, for example, head of OT, head of psychology. Also, I've mentioned the medical secretary, social worker you'll meet with. So that the doctor will be eased into his role by not only familiarising himself with the environment, but also with the various major players that he will be working with ultimately. In addition to this, we would not expect the new doctor to start working in earnest in the first week, but rather he would be shadowing perhaps one of the other specialty doctors initially, and then and working closely with the consultant before starting to work properly. But yeah, I think the key thing is to create an a process where the doctor feels that they're eased into the work and not necessarily having to be fraught with being hands-on straight away, but rather to familiarise themselves so that they can start as they mean to go on, certainly in terms of the sort of relationship we want to forge with a doctor that's just starting.
Mm. And I was going to come to it a bit later, but you kind of touched on it there that, you know, it's not just all about work, and kind of getting to know the job. How important is it to kind of have that social element to starting a new job, and how do you go about creating that feeling and that environment at Taunton?
Okay. So there are several ways. One way we have a fortnightly, we call it doctors' meetings, every Fridays for 2 hours, where we may discuss all sorts of things, from journal clubs to perhaps what we may want to do with an audit or other QI initiatives. But also it could just be a space, a protected time for doctors to discuss any matters any concerns that they may have, or just anything. It's just a bit of space for the doctors. So that's 2 hours every fortnight. But more importantly, in terms of social relations, an initiative that was started by one of the other consultants is every 2 months we try to hold team building days, where we do various social things. For example, we've been go-karting, was the latest example. We've gone quadding at night, quadding safari, and also paintballing, for example. This is an initiative that's been starting, and it's not just for doctors, but also it's for other members of the multidisciplinary team can join in, so that we can have some sort of a level playing field to sort of break down boundaries between professions, but also even administrative staff as well. And it's been very popular, and it's something that's paid for by ourselves, so it's not coming out of a Signet pot. But that's been really, really successful, and Namdi can verify that as well, because he's taken part in all our team buildings.
Yeah, I've been part of all the team building, all of them, and just on Friday, the other doctors also joined me to Cardiff for my birthday, so it was a full team as well. So it's been really nice, actually, with the social and the team building. And it wasn't, like he said, it's not just within doctors; it can be members from other disciplinary teams and administrative staff as well. Yeah,
I think Dr. Sammy and Becky and I were talking about that earlier. We all feel quite jealous. We all want to come down and work at Taunton. It sounds amazing.
Oh, absolutely. So I've decided to go to Taunton next when they organize one of these social events. Yeah. So yeah, probably clay pigeon shooting next time.
Yeah. Exactly. No, that's another plan, and the skate rooms. The other thing that was is an initiative from the hospital manager is to have doctor appreciation days, which is really good. We already have employee for the months at our hospital, and actually the latest winner has been one of the specialty doctors, won the last employee of the month. Yeah, won the last one, for example. So yes. I think Taunton's it's a really good camaraderie, not just between doctors, but also between all staff. It's quite it's a friendly environment. And I think that's come from the senior management team to try and create a culture where staff can feel not just empowered, but feel that they can come into work and that they can enjoy their time during work, because it takes up a lot of your life. Where it's very helpful for morale, which is important in healthcare as with other industries. So I think that's been a particular focus for the senior management team, really, is to create an environment where morale can be maximised. Mm.
That's really important. Thank you. Next, we spoke about some of the career progression and training opportunities available for doctors at Signet, such as the MRC psych exams, the CSER programme and research projects. Sammy, Becky, what kind of career progression and training opportunities can people look forward to at Signet?
I think for specialty doctors, once they do achieve the necessary competencies, the skills and experience in Signet Healthcare, we do offer rotational programs, and I think the Southwest region is leading on that, where specialty doctors do have the opportunity to switch specialties. Say, for example, they could work for 6 months in acute psychiatry and then move on to maybe old age or learning disability or personality disorders. And after this, so probably I would say this might take about, say, 2 to 3 years or, maybe slightly more, depending on their other commitments. And then they move on to maybe, associate specialist positions, which kind of, it's more like a junior consultant post-like. And throughout these stages, they will be given the opportunity to become part of our CSER program. So the CSER program is an alternative to ST 4 to 6 training in the NHS. So it's very similar, but then, this is slightly different in the sense they do have a portfolio and they will have to go through maybe, yearly assessments. But, this is a bit more flexible, I would say. So one of our regional medical directors, he is leading on the CSER program, and there was a lot of positive feedback at our recent annual medical conference a couple of weeks ago about the CSER program. So once they are into the CSER program, they will have to, you know, meet certain competencies, you know, at every stage. And once they reach a satisfactory level, which is kind of equivalent to an ST6 trainee in the NHS, then they will be able to apply for specialist registration with the Royal College of Psychiatrists. So they'll have to go through that process, and they will be supported as to building their portfolio, submission of their application for, you know, specialist registration. And once they are, you know, through that stage, then they will be, once they are entered into the specialist register, they will be given opportunities to work as consultants within Signet Healthcare. And for example, I mean, in the Southwest, we have, you know, one of our consultants who had, you know, been through this process and successfully, you know, become a consultant at Taunton. So that is a very clear pathway. And we do encourage all our specialty doctors to consider the CSER program. We are also thinking about the MRC Psych program. One of the other regional medical directors will be, you know, leading on that. So this will give them the opportunity to complete their MRC Psych exams. And I know Namdi has, you know, applied for his Paper A. He's taking his Paper A MRC Psych exam in December this year. So, yeah, so they do have, you know, it's a dual opportunity. So they have the opportunity to be, you know, part of the CSER program. At the same time, they can, you know, prepare for their exams as well. Mm-hmm. And they have got, you know, supervisors, appraisers, you know, at the hospitals they are working. And I know, I mean, probably David will touch on it. I mean, Dave will touch on that later. They've got, you know, kind of a buddy system as well, where they are kind of, you know, buddied up with, you know, maybe another senior specialty doctor or a consultant, you know, to support them and, you know, mentor them.
You've been involved in all sorts of exciting projects and research opportunities since you've joined. I was just wondering if you could share what your proudest achievement so far is since you started at Signet, and what kind of things you've been involved in.
Okay, there've been a couple, actually. I'm actually involved with the Mental Health Act and Administration, where I get to be part of the assessing team for mental health assessments, and can also represent as the medical personnel for tribunals that happen for patients on that section. I've also been involved with a couple of quality improvement in the hospital, one or two audits, and some still ongoing. And there are two research going on in Signet Taunton, which I'm one of as well. We also have this carers forum, where we have an interaction between the patient relatives to understand what happens in the hospital and what we do for their relatives. And I'm actually the medical member representing as part of the multidisciplinary team. So it's been a couple of things I've been involved in. And personally, I've always been research-minded, and Signet Taunton has actually given me an opportunity to build up in that area as well. So the proudest thing, I think, I can't really differentiate, because I'm quite proud of the things I've been able to achieve and still ongoing right now. So I think that's about, I may not remember all, because there are a couple really, and I still plan on doing some others as well. I've actually had more support than I would have imagined, actually. It's a common misconception, but I mean, if you're not here, you're not going to know. But the thing with working in the UK and in Signet is, I mean, you just have to ask, that's it. So once you ask, you get the most support that you need, and that's it. You just progress the way you want. Yeah, there's always support to take you as far as wherever you want to go to.
Signet covers a broad range of specialties, but how do you decide what route to take, and how do you build enough experience to specialise?
I think the key is the way you're, how you started. So the key is that there is the opportunity to be mentored. If you've got a limited experience in psychiatry and you, and But you feel that you're ready to be a specialty doctor. We will mentor you for the first 6 weeks, and that where you would essentially be supernumerary. And it was a situation in Taunton, so we wouldn't expect you to join us 4 to 6 weeks to be working in earnest. But you'd be mentored by a psychiatrist, you'd be shadowing, and once you've built some skills and confidence, then you can perhaps start working as a specialty doctor, and then you'll be supported as far as you can, as far as is able, in terms of completing MRC psych exams. For example, Namdi has already mentioned that he started with us in the spring of this year, and he's already doing his first part. So he's had a lot of support from both his consultant, and obviously I've tried to support him as far as I can. But yeah, you can start as a specialty doctor, even if you've perhaps got limited experience. The processes are in place where you'd have enough support for you.
And I think for Namdi, you know, who started off with limited experience in psychiatry, I think you may have had those, you know, anxieties around, you know, having to start as a specialty doctor, you know, straight away.
Yeah, it was a thing. It was something that bothered me even while I was back home, because I was offered the specialty doctor post, but I felt the resident medical officer post was easier and safer to start. But once I started, I realized that working as a specialty doctor, you have to be at work between 9 to 5, and that gives you an opportunity to have the whole team present, not just the medical team, anyone. Because I can remember I've learned a lot from people that are not even doctors, because I mean they've worked longer than you in mental health, so they have something reasonable to tell you. So once you're in the environment, it's almost difficult to make a mistake, because you can always ask and you will always get an answer. So for me, I think it's easier to start as a specialty doctor, because you're working with the team on ground, so you can always ask, and then you can always take it from there. The next time you see that you do things alone, and just like Dave mentioned, it's a process, so you're closely watched, and over time you get to do things by yourself, so they just get to know when you're comfortable with certain things. Like when I started, I didn't start taking calls immediately, like the night duty calls, but when they saw I was a bit comfortable and they confirmed it for myself, I started and it's been going really well so far. Yeah,
I think the key to is both the attitude obviously of the organization, but also the specialty doctors themselves at the starting. So sometimes it's actually quite good for the organization to have someone with perhaps limited experience but with enthusiasm and has the right attitude in terms of perhaps humility and not having too many preconceived ideas of what the job actually will entail. So these elements can actually be quite advantage in terms of a specialty doctor doing quite well and moving on. And an example will be Namdi, who's started in a good environment with lots of support, but also had the right attitude towards asking plenty of questions, not coming with assumptions, all these sort of things. So yeah.
Finally, we finish with some advice for anyone who's supervising an international doctor starting work in the UK for the first time. How do you make that induction a positive and welcoming experience?
Yeah, I think one key thing is to be very mindful that this doctor is coming to a different culture, and that we'll have lots of questions and will need to be supported through just ordinary matters as well as some of the professional things that you would expect to support this new doctor through. So be very mindful that that's a lot that will play on an international doctor's mind, you know, to be able to deal with the difference in culture and ordinary things like having to secure accommodation, bank accounts, understanding British culture, sense of humour, all those things. To be very mindful of that when you support. And you know, easing them through the professional sort of induction process, for example, making them feel very welcome, trying to place yourself, be a little bit empathic in placing yourself. And I'm sure the Signet consultants are very good. I'm sure they're very much aware of all this. Placing yourself, you know, a bit of empathy, placing yourself in the shoes of that person, and how you would it feel like for you to come to not just a new culture, perhaps a different way of working, perhaps having to deal with the misconceptions of the independent sector as opposed to the NHS. That's something that you may have to explain to the new doctor, all these sort of things. So it's really kind of like easing someone in gently, have that kind of attitude of easing someone in gently and supporting them throughout. And then you'll build morale. They're more likely to stay loyal with you, all these sort of things.
Yeah.
And I think in terms of supervision, we do have a formal structure as well. Yeah. Like the specialty doctors, they are being supervised by their respective consultants once every week. You know, they have a catch-up session. Yeah. And every month, they have a formal supervision, you know, an hour supervision, looking into their educational needs, you know, where the gaps are, where their strengths are, and, you know, to probably give them, you know, more opportunities. Say, for example, if they are interested in teaching, because, you know, Namdi leads on the teaching on, you know, medication side effects at Taunton. So, you know, that's his strength because he's very passionate about education. So it's just, you know, identifying, you know, their strengths and then, you know, just kind of reinforcing it further. And then if there are any gaps, I think, you know, Day, what he does there at Taunton is, you know, kind of linking him with, you know, the right consultant or a senior specialty doctor to make sure that, you know, those developmental needs are also addressed at the same time.
Yeah, that's right. So that's absolutely right. There's some quite a robust formal supervisory processes that we have that Sammy's already mentioned. And also the consultant will make the new doctor aware of other forums, support forums. One thing that I will mention is the new initiative of peer group for specialty doctors, led by a specialty doctor. That's every month, and that's a really good forum for the specialists to get together to discuss some common issues they may have, or all sorts of matters really that within their own protected space. So I can go on really, but we have CPD months, for example, as well as the in-house hospital meetings, doctors' meeting, academic meetings. There's lots of other forums. And the other thing I wanted to mention was it's really important for the consultants, and they do that to empower a new doctor, give them the opportunity as well when they feel ready that they may be able to take initiatives of their own. You know, start up, you know, getting themselves involved in steering groups. For example, whether it be local or regional, all these sort of things, and you know, if they have a quality improvement idea, then to give the doctor the opportunity to kind of like, you know, talk about that idea through the various forums like MAC meetings or even in supervision, these sort of things. So encouragement in that way.
Oh, sounds like there's so many fantastic opportunities at Cygnet. And finally, Namdi, what's your one piece of advice for anyone thinking about coming over to the UK to start a new life and a new career?
Okay, I think first off is just to identify what you really want to do, because if I use myself as an example, it was mental health that I really wanted to do, so getting straight into mental health was an advantage for me. And being able to understand that there will be a cultural change. I mean, some people get so shocked that it affects their work, and then it looks like they're not really good. But when you understand the fact that there will be a change and you expect it, it may not turn out as badly as one would think, but when you expect it, it can help you focus more on your work and let it not distract you from what you're supposed to do. And then, like I would always say, you have to understand the fact that asking questions in the UK is a form of strength instead of a form of weakness, like it is in other cultures. Like where I come from, asking questions feels like you're not qualified for the work, or you're not being proactive. But the difference here is that when you ask questions, it's seen as a form of strength, meaning that you want to learn. And so you just ask questions. You don't feel shy about whatever you want to ask. I mean, I ask questions for everything: accommodation, bank, and I got all the help I needed. And I had to, even the bank account I opened was from the help from the HR in the hospital, because she was able to tell me what the bank would need and what they would ask for and the documents she could help me with. So it's just about asking around and you get all the help that you need. So the advice I'll just give is any doctor that wants to come over to the UK or wants to work in the UK should just always learn how to ask questions, no matter how silly you think it can be, and it's the way forward, really.
Thank you for sharing that. I think that's a really useful, valid piece of advice there. And thank you all for joining the podcast today.
Hello, I'm Gabriella Romano, and I'm the HR onboarding assistant at Cygnet Healthcare. Thanks for listening to the Changing Lives podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and share with your colleagues. It really does make a difference.